Glancing at her giant, cartoon arse, I saw the image of her vagina flash through her trousers, and I flinched, violently, breaking eye contact with Eric and looking at the ground. There it flashed again, in a strong, single pulse of photographic clarity, pink and folded and velveteen, and big as the flagstones. I put on my sunglasses as we walked towards the strand, scared that someone would see it in my eyes, and clenched my jaw to try to lock it out. But through his words it came, more forcefully this time, flickering more quickly and seeming to distend and darken. In front of us a cloud of pigeons flapped up, clapping into the sky, and in their shivering grey swell I saw it again. The flesh thickened around my throat. "No, no, no," I said silently, over and over, trying to create a thought wall to stop the image getting in. But already the screaming had started in the back of my head. Why did I see that? Did I like it? Did I really, really like it? Now I had to find out. I had to check. I didn't want to, but I had to. I was utterly compelled. So I looked behind me, back onto Trafalgar Square, and tried to pick out the pink tourist amid the crowds, discreetly, not wanting to arouse suspicion, yet thoroughly unable to resist this huge, compulsive urgency to see that woman again and determine how exactly I'd felt when that image had burned through her pants and what exactly it had meant. But she was gone. "It meant nothing," I said again to myself, and so inflamed the image further, making it heave and become stronger still. When I closed my eyes or looked at the fag-flecked tarmac, I saw it again. 50 times, 100 times, burning bigger by the second, pulsing quicker with each breath I took, becoming a watermark on my vision, violating this beautiful summer's day with its huge, grisly imprint. Now Eric was saying stuff about the Middle East, about India, about amazing adventures. And I tried to focus as he chatted on, but the giant insect in my chest was closing its legs around my lungs, and his voice was getting further and further away. He grinned about something I hadn't heard, and on his lips the image flashed again. "No, no, no." We turned onto the strand into the stream of shoppers, and the thoughts opened out, blossomed, swallowed every person in London. Now everyone was naked and prostrate on the pavement, every man and woman performing in the mass orgy that had writhed in my mind for a decade. Even things became sex. The vaudeville's curved arch and the Savoy's deep V. They twisted into obscenities in my vision and engulfed all that was lovely. The sunset burning the old bricks red, the music from the gilded lobbies, all were lost in rolling folds of flesh. I was no longer in London on a hot, hot day in July. I was inside my head, where I'd been for half of my life, pacing the same old strip of earth bare. It doesn't usually stop for hours, or days, or years. But something Eric said just then cut through. With a single sentence spoken in his deep, lilting voice, I was there again in London, with the candy-coloured lanterns and the water spray rainbows, a part of now.